The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live on this Monday afternoon. Thank you. Thank you for joining me. There's breaking news out of New York City earlier this afternoon. Manhattan was basically in a state of chaos and at times almost panic because we now know that a helicopter made a crash landing on top of one of the skyscrapers at 787 7th Avenue in Midtown Manhattan. And as a result, the helicopter caught on fire. But when it happened, all anyone knew was an aircraft had crashed into a high-rise in New York City. Obviously, echoes of 9/11, and there was a massive, massive response from first responders in New York, because when it happened, they didn't know what kind of aircraft, they didn't know why. All they knew was there was a fire because of an aircraft crashing into the top of a skyscraper, and so there was a panic in Midtown Manhattan. All right, now we know there is no indication of a terrorist attack or anything like that. A helicopter flying over Manhattan experienced technical difficulties and made, well, some are calling it a crash landing, others are calling it a hard landing. It was hard enough that the helicopter caught fire on top of the building. The pilot of the helicopter was killed. Right now, they do not believe there were any passengers on the helicopter. It seems, at least from preliminary reports, that the pilot was alone and sadly did die. The fire was extinguished fairly quickly, and it doesn't seem at this point that there was real serious damage to the building. But you can imagine, after 9/11, the emergency responders and their desire to get there quickly, not knowing what kind of aircraft, not knowing the circumstances. So there was a massive, massive turnout of fire equipment, so forth. Many streets were blockaded off. And the fire has been extinguished. No one hurt in the building. Preliminary reports are saying that the building itself was not seriously damaged, and the mayor of New York is going to be holding a press conference Sometime between now, probably, and the top of the hour, if there are any other details available as a result of that press conference, we will certainly pass it along to you. But you can imagine being in one of those buildings or being anywhere. It was not far from Times Square, and looking up and realizing that an aircraft has crashed into a high-rise building. Again, echoes of 9/11. And then here in Ohio, an earthquake. And this is kind of funny. I had one of the cable news stations on just a moment ago, and it says, earthquake rocks Ohio. Well, there was an earthquake, 4.0 magnitude, up in northeast Ohio, northeast of Cleveland, and the epicenter of the earthquake evidently was out in Lake Erie. The earthquake was placed some 2.5 miles north-northwest of East Lake, a city in northeast Ohio of about 20,000 people. No damage reported, no injuries reported. A lot of people did feel it, and there were calls to 911 up in northeast Ohio. Some of the traffic cameras shook a little bit, and the news media has been playing that over and over and over again. But, you know, we're living, I guess it's always been this way, but I think especially now, the news media tries to shock you. And so, again, the headline, earthquake rocks Ohio. Well, not exactly. However, people said they could feel it in Cuyahoga County, Geauga County, Summit, Ashtabula, Portage, Lorain, Medina, and Summit counties. But again, no damage reported and no injuries, so we can be thankful for that. But Ohio did have an earthquake, at least up in northeast Ohio. And then this story. No, I'll tell you what, I'll do this. Oberlin College here in Ohio has been, well, they have a reputation for being one of the more liberal, left-leaning colleges in the state of Ohio. They have just been assessed $11 million in damages. I'll tell you why. I'll give you that story after the break. $11 million, and it could be tripled to over $30 million. Again, I'll have that story after this break. But here's, well, kind of breaking news. Many of you will remember the name Michael Newdow. Michael Newdow is the well-known atheist. I don't know whether he still lives in California or not, but he is the one that tried unsuccessfully to remove "under God" from the Pledge of Allegiance. It went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, no, "under God" is just fine in the Pledge of Allegiance. Well, he was not content with that. So several years ago, he began bringing federal lawsuits against the federal government to remove "In God We Trust" from all coins and currency. Well, it's been winding all through the courts. It finally made its way to the Supreme Court today. Well, it didn't make its way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court ruled today on Michael Newdow's case trying to remove "In God We Trust," and the Supreme Court said, no, that's fine. "In God We Trust" is fine. That is not a violation of church and state. And I didn't know this. The phrase was first put on American coins in 1864. It was added to coins and paper bills in 1955, but it has been on American coins since 1864. And it's interesting because Newdow argued that his clients are all atheists, and because they are atheists, get this, the government, and I'm quoting, the government violated their sincere religious belief that there is no God. And because of that, having "In God We Trust" on the money makes them political outsiders. Isn't that fascinating? Michael Newdow argued that having in God we trust on our money, coins, and bills violated atheists, and again I quote, sincere religious belief that there is no God. I've been making the case for years that atheism is a religion, and for many, many years the atheist says, no, we're not, no, we're not, we are not, we are not a religion. When now they, now they're a religion. And they are. When we come back, the Oberlin College case. This is amazing. And then a little later, I believe I'll have time to get it in. Wait till you hear what the crowd in Raleigh, North Carolina, did to a 13-year-old girl who spoke before city council. You got to hear this story when we come back.
This is Bob Burney Live.
Well, Oberlin College is going to be a little poorer. Yeah, we think this probably will be appealed. But here's the story. A couple of years ago, Gibson's Bakery in Oberlin, Ohio, came under fire after the owner's son. By the way, it's my understanding that this bakery is a fifth-generation business in Oberlin. Fifth generation. It's been there for a long, long, long time. Well, a couple of years ago, two students from Oberlin came into the bakery, and they tried to shoplift some things, including wine. I have no idea why a bakery was selling wine, but they were. They used fake ID. They tried to shoplift some wine and other things from the store. The owner's son, Alan Gibson, tried to take a picture as they left the store because he said, hey, guys, wait, whoa, whoa, come back. You know, you got to pay for that. And they refused to pay and headed out. He got out his phone. One of the students smacked him. They got into a physical altercation. Two other students got involved in the altercation, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Police were called, and charges were filed against the three students. Eventually, the students pleaded guilty. Not only that, the students read statements in court defending Alan Gibson, the owner's right to detain them. Well, here's the rub. The owner's son is white. The three students were all black. Now, the three students read statements, said, hey, we were wrong. He should have detained us. That was fine. They also read statements in court claiming that the actions of the owner's son were not racially motivated. However, some of the administrators on the college campus started passing out flyers claiming that this bakery was racist and students should boycott it and they should protest. Well, the students did. They boycotted, they protested, they showed up for several days with signs out in front, don't shop here, this is a racist bakery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Well, it ruined the business of the bakery that had been there for five generations, and the owners of Gibson's Bakery filed a lawsuit against the college and the vice president and dean of students, Meredith Raimondo. Well, on Friday of last week, the jury found the school, Oberlin College, and Oberlin's vice president and dean of students, Meredith Raimondo, guilty of libel after Raimondo passed out flyers claiming that the bakery was racist and had a history of racial profiling and discrimination. The jury also found that the college was guilty of intentional infliction of emotional distress for the owner, David Gibson, as well as libel and intentional infliction of emotional distress on his son. As a result, the jury has awarded the owners of the bakery 11 million dollars. That is for now. Next week, a separate hearing will be held to determine punitive damages, and it's very possible that that could triple to $33 million. Yeah. Well, most people say, well, the insurance company will pay for it. Well, the insurance company that insures Oberlin College has released a statement said, no. The actions of the administrators in the college itself were so egregious and illegal that they violated the terms of their insurance policy. So as of now, the insurance company is saying, we're not paying. Now, I'm sure the school will appeal this, but right now, Oberlin College owes Gibson's Bakery $11 million, and that could rise next week to $33 million. Oberlin College has long been known as a flashpoint for political correctness. You may remember, it's been 2 or 3 years ago, one of their more famous alumni, Lena Dunham. Yeah, you know who Lena Dunham is, the filthy, vile comedian. She encouraged these students at the college to complain because the college had engaged in cultural appropriation because they served sushi to non-Asian students, and not only that, they served Mexican food to non-Hispanic students. Yeah. No, I know. I'm not making it up. Cultural appropriation because the school serves sushi to non-Asian students. Oh, and by the way, the sushi was not made by Asian students, and Mexican food was not made by Mexicans, and it was actually served to non-Hispanic students. Oh, my goodness, the horror of it. I am really happy about this because I hope this judgment. And hey, what do I know? I'm not an attorney, but I don't think the college will win the appeal. And it looks like they're going to pay out a healthy chunk of change. I would hope it sends a message to liberal colleges and universities that political correctness can be expensive. And when you intentionally try to destroy someone's reputation and their business, there will be a price to pay. So Oberlin College, to pay $11 million after claiming that a bakery was racist. Hey, I'm coming up on the break. When we come back, I want to take you to Raleigh, North Carolina. A very brave 13-year-old girl gave a very stirring speech before the Raleigh, North Carolina City Council. Wait till you hear how they treated this 13-year-old. You might guess the topic. Yeah, we'll cover that when we come back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.